Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Carino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motor Mouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Carino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Everybody should be knowing is that you are tuned in to Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show with your host, Ray Guarino. Joe D is in the background, but in filling in today, sitting in the chair, is Kilowatt Kevin, good friend from ways back.
Long time. Good afternoon, Ray. How are you?
Thanks for coming in, Kev. It's a pleasure, as always, to have you.
Well, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, and first guest of 2020.
Well, you started off with the right intro song, too.
We like to, you know, that funny you say that, because I like to tailor the music to the guest. And last, we had you on schedule for last week, so we had Cream all ready to go. You know, some
either one.
I know. Well, there's a lot. There's a few. And then Chassis John from Florida just happened to be in town. He was in town, but he couldn't make the show originally. That's why I tapped you. And then last minute, John was like, hey, I can do the show.
Right.
And then we switched and whatever, and then you graciously took the next spot. And so
put me back in a Rolodex.
But I had no time to change the music. You know, now John's an old school music guy, too, so it fit. But I might have picked some other stuff for him. I said, you know what, no time to change the music. It's too late. We're going with the Cream. Oh, crap, I got to get music for Kevin. That's also a no-brainer. We go right to the G section of our CDs and go to the Good Rat, so...
Perfect call. Good for today.
Peppy Marcello. So, yeah, today is, like I said, the first day of the new year. Well, not the first day of the new year, the first show of the new year. And, you know, we're going to kick it off. We don't know where we're going to go with it. But you can get in with us by calling 516-572-7440. Follow us on the web. Of course, we are on Facebook and Twitter at Motor Mouth Radio and Instagram, which is Joe's favorite, which is real_ Motor Mouth Radio. And that's where we post pictures of the things we get involved in. Like I just did yesterday, put a post up from, was working on Mike Chevelle.
I did see that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing how car comes out.
It is coming along nice. I mean, the body is, it's back at the body shop, so the metal work, the nose is on. And what I had to do was put the brakes in, the brake booster and the master cylinder and the lines.
Right.
And I knew that was going to be, when I was working on the car at the other shop, with no nose, I knew it'd be a lot. That'd be the time to do it, but we couldn't because there was some inside metal work that had to be done. So now the fender was on, but there was no fender well. So I literally just climb in.
Perfect. That's the time.
And that's how I do. I like to get into my work, so to speak. And Mike was walking by and says, "Oh, look at this! I got to take a picture." I'm like, "Okay, go right ahead." You know, so, almost looked like half a body.
So how far along are they with the car?
Well, we had done the engine. That's all done and running. The transmission had been gone over. The exhaust was put in Oceanside, and suspension's ready. Now what I have to do is just bleed the brakes. That'll be the next step. And it's just about ready to go. I mean, it needs the in-fenders put in. Of course, the front, you know, all the lights and the grill has to be all done. The back has to be dressed out. There's no interior yet.
Right.
But soon, with the brakes done and with a seat in it, it can be moved and driven.
Well, it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah,
progress.
It is. Which is always nice because, you know, it takes a while to get a project car done. People watch TV.
Oh, yeah. It's done in 7 minutes.
Right. So they think that everything is nice and quick. Well, you know what? I tell you what, it doesn't take 7 minutes. Answering the phone. Let's go to the phones, go to the phone and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi.
Hi, who are we speaking with?
My name is Eliza.
Hi, Eliza.
Hi.
What's going on?
All right. I have this ongoing thing with my husband with the cruise control.
Okay.
I like to use the cruise control on a trip because it, well, quite frankly, it helps my knee. And
yeah.
What happens is we drive the Taconic quite often.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very hilly. So he tells me not to use the cruise control because I'm not sure why. Well, it kicks in on a low gear or whatever.
What kind of car are you driving, Eliza?
It's a Honda Fit.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this. Well, first, let me ask you a question. How did you find us? I love it when women call because we don't typically get a lot of women, but we embrace it because, you know, we're all married guys and we have sons and daughters and we like to help people. So
that's a nice choice of words. You embrace the women. Okay. How did I find you? Oh,
yeah.
You're number two on my dial.
Oh, nice.
When FUV is playing a lot of Irish music, and it's
God.
After a while, I get to you guys.
Well,
I like your programming. You know, I like the kind of eclectic music you play at the different times of day.
Yeah, the station, HPC, does play quite an eclectic mixture. And college and radio in general does do that. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't like commercials.
Okay. Yeah, right. Who does? That's why I have satellite in my car. Oops. Did I say that? So back to your problem. I use cruise control all the time.
You do.
Regularly. I mean, I use it on my trip, a quick 7 mile trip to work. I use the cruise control.
Okay.
Now, the Taconic, I'm very well versed in because I like that road. I drive it, I used to drive it a lot more. The problem with the Taconic, and I think this is where your husband's concern is that it's twisty, it's turny, it's hilly. There's sight issues, depending what part of it you're on.
Right.
It can represent a bit of a, you know, a bit of an issue. I think he's thinking to have control of the car himself as opposed to the cruise control would get him out of a situation. You know, there's deer up there. There's all sorts of stuff.
Are people cutting across where
there are some crosses.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Oh, well, I have no problem braking on it or anything. What he says is if you don't anticipate the hills, you know, it kind of kinks out. It's an automatic transmission, and it kinks down, and you can hear it go, you belabor the engine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
okay.
Well, that's going to do that no matter what. I mean, you know, when you use cruise control on a hilly area, you know, even if it's rolling hills, the car is going to work. If you have it set at 60 miles an hour, say, that car just knows, I have to keep this car at 60 miles an hour.
Right.
Now, if you're on a 30% grade incline and it's got to really downshift and throttle it up, it's going to do it. Now, if you're on a 30-degree downgrade, it's going to take power away.
Right. Yeah.
That's what cruise control does. It controls the rate of cruise.
I think the only difference is if you're in control and you're driving, you can anticipate seeing that hill and you can gradually feather the pedal more to pick up so you don't have that downshifting all the time.
You're right. Very true.
That's kind of what I do when, you know, anticipate the hill. I give it a little gas.
Sure. Because
when you speed up on cruise control, it'll take it back automatically. But when you brake, then you have to reset it.
Right. Well, let me put this to you. Let me posit this. I do this with my own car. Not on my local trip, but when I go on a trip upstate, I drive a four-cylinder car with a manual transmission. So it doesn't downshift by itself. I have to downshift.
Right.
A lot of times I'll tap the brake and take the cruise control off and go back to manual control, you know, with the hills or curves or whatever, or if I feel it, I want to be more in control. And then I'll just click the resume button and let it go back on. So.
Okay, that's what I do.
Yeah.
My question is, does it hurt the transmission if I haven't anticipated a hill adequately and I feel it do that, you know, kick into the lower gear?
No.
Is that bad for the car?
No, that's absolutely what the automatic transmission is designed to do.
Okay.
Like I said, you know, with my manual transmission, I have to physically downshift. If I don't, the car's going to lug and load and, you know, and not accelerate. The automatic, that's why it's called automatic. You know,
right.
It does it for you. But the thing is, with a smaller engine, like a four-cylinder, now you're going to hear the RPM go up. It's going to feel like the car is maybe, you know, straining. And yeah, you're not driving a V8. You're driving a four-cylinder. So
right. You can feel it straining. Right.
I'm with you. I say keep doing what you're doing.
Cool.
You got my blessing. No problem.
All right. Thank you.
All right,
Happy
Eliza.
New Year, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
So, all right.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was great. I love you. You know, we don't get a lot of women callers, so when we do, like I said, I embrace them. Don't tell my wife I said that. No, it's that's the thing. It's like I said, we do have families, you know, friends, nieces. We have, you know, like I said, sons, daughters,
right.
You know, and that's the purpose of this show, is to help answer questions.
Absolutely.
Like that. So
if mine was up, he'd be listening.
Yeah, he wouldn't be calling. He doesn't need our help, though, Kev. You know, he doesn't, you know. He knows enough.
I think so.
He's got it all figured out, right?
You got it.
So you could be like Eliza. Give us a call, 516-572-7440, and you could ask us your questions and concerns. We were talking on the way in about maintenance and talking about batteries and tires. So we have a lot of things we can talk about today. We can go a lot of different directions.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you want to kick off with one of your issues with the battery, because that's kind of interesting.
The most recent one I purchased?
Yeah, we were talking about just battery life right. in the cars and expectancy and
well, we've always discussed this, how you found in the past, the batteries would give you some type of a warning when they were starting to deteriorate and they were seeing the end of their life expectancy. And recently that hasn't happened. You get in a car and the battery would be pretty much gone. So I have a 2013 that I have the original battery in. So it's about 6.5 years old. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed on last year during the winter mornings, it was just getting a little slow on those cold days. So I figured I'd time to go out and research and get a new battery for it.
Right.
But I still have the one at home that is good. And I put that to the side, and that'll be the backup. I'll keep that on a battery tender and keep it charged in case we need it.
Right. That's the thing. You,
Six and a half years.
And I had mentioned to you, like you, I keep extensive records on all my maintenance
right.
and repair. And I noticed on my car I had to do a battery, and I looked through my maintenance. I've owned my car since 06. They have 5-year batteries, and they're going within the month
wow.
of 5-year intervals. And it's like there's a timer in there. So the idea is, and you know, batteries today, to make a general statement, I found that batteries, modern batteries, in cars don't fail like they did, like with
right.
our older cars. Kev,
right.
we both have modern, you know, we have old classic cars.
Sure.
The real deal. We got the muscle cars. And with them, yeah, you get a slow crank and you nurse it and yeah, you could get it along. New cars, I've had battery failures where that car was fine when
sure.
I used it yesterday, today.
Right.
No start.
There's no warning.
Yeah, just like click, you hear the solenoid clicking,
right.
or it's dead.
Right.
And I don't know what the answer for that is. I don't know why they fail that way. But I've seen it in my own cars that happens. So the only thing I can say is what you should do is, of course, we know you should always open the hood and look. You should always have an idea of what's going on under the hood. Just, you know, we always say look for something shiny, something wet, something hanging.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a,
right.
a wild card. But look at the battery. And on some of the cars, I've seen they just tend to sulfate. You get sulfation on the terminals.
Right. This was good. I didn't have any when I pulled the connectors off. I had a little bit on the bottom on the positive side.
Mm-hmm.
Clean it up, and I put it back together, and it was no problem.
That's good. But with the sulfation, the way you can solve that is you just take some baking soda, mix it with some water, and get a paintbrush. Wear some rubber gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Wear eye protection because this stuff is caustic.
Right.
And just, you know, make a slurry out of it. Pour it over the battery. Let it sit for 15, 20 minutes. Then you can go brush it off and hose it off with fresh water and... You know, the best thing to do is take the cables off and clean the inside of those,
right.
too. But that's an indicator of battery health. And look, there's also a label on the battery that has the date code for the month and year the battery was put in service.
Okay.
So if it's getting to be 4 or 5 years, like you know now in your car,
right.
you're
right.
you have one that's
like you said,
six years.
I keep extensive records myself.
Yeah.
And I bought the car brand new, so I do know right from the beginning when I bought it in 6.5 years.
Right. Yeah, so that's the thing. When you know that, so now you're already on guard that, hey, you know, it could be time.
Yes.
You know, maybe this winter.
I'd rather pick my own destiny. Just be a little proactive.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to be on the side of the road.
No.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Like us and like you who listens, who does work on your own car, you have some mechanical ability. You have you get to know you look at your batteries, you look at your brake system, you look at your cooling system, you know, you're kind of like a little bit of a, you know, a bit of a mechanic. You know, we could, call you Mr. Mechanic, couldn't we?
Mr. Mechanic.
Let's see what Pepe Marcello and the boys have to say about that. And we'll be back with more of this on 90.3 WHPC.
Portion of programming on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Center for Workforce Development at Nassau Community College, where you can learn how to become a phlebotomy technician. In a 90-hour program at Nassau Community College, students will be taught aspects related to blood collection and develop comprehensive skills to perform venipunctures for lab analysis. Class includes lecture, demonstration, and hands-on practice. Employment opportunities exist in doctor offices, hospitals, diagnostic offices, and labs. The course begins February 10th and concludes May 20th with classes conducted evenings. More information can be found by calling the Center for Workforce Development at 516-572-7487 or by visiting ncc.edu.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
Yes, we are Jive Talking on 90.3 WHBC, and that is Chris Switzer on cowbell, by the way. Don't let yourselves be fooled. Live read, and he plays cowbell, too, so this man is a talent.
Not at the same time.
Boy, you never said that in 12 years of doing a show with me.
No, but I have said this. 516-572-7440. Pick up the phone. Call us. For crying out loud.
That is true.
Come on. Come on. Standing here talking to Ray.
I know.
I'll be coming back for more. Yeah, on the low, I never thought I'd hit this hard. Ring the bell and give my man up. On the low, I never felt like. On the low, I never felt like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've definitely felt like doing Motormouth Radio. That's why I come back here every week. Thanks to Pepe and the boys for a little backup on that, and thanks to Chris for playing cowbell because he does that so well.
He does. So, he does. Yeah. You got to get that on film.
Man of many talents. Oh, yeah. Now, he shuns the camera. That's the problem. He doesn't like to be seen. So we're back. You can give us a call, 516-572-7440. Get in on the fun. Or you know what? If you find yourself, it's a live read we got to do too, Kev.
Okay.
Tuesdays at 3 p.m. If you're free, tune in this fine station and listen to your family's health. Professor Janine Cook-Garrard from the NCC Nursing Department discusses health issues concerning us all. And as we get older, Kev, we talk about this all the time.
We were.
We all have health issues. We all have something. There's aches, pains, groans, grumbles. Oh, my God. There's always something going on,
it's
right?
It's 2020. It's creeping on us.
Oh, boy. I know. Well, we're lucky to be here to talk about it. So, you know, what are you going to do? I want to bring something up that I noticed. I happened to be following my wife. She had to pick me up from the shop so I could get my car, and then I was following her back. Her car has DRLs, or daytime running lights.
Right.
So I was never a big fan of them, but, you know, the car has them. What are you going to do? Sometimes you can't turn them off. So I noticed as we were coming home that her DRLs were on because she had been behind me. And then I noticed as she got in front of me, her taillights weren't on. And this was a day where it wasn't rainy, but it was kind of gray. And I put my parking lights on to be seen, as did other people on the street. And I noticed, like, wow, she doesn't have rear taillights on. And then when I stayed behind her, and when she stopped for the brake lights came on. And again, when she went, they were off. And then I realized I've seen cars on the parkway at night.
Yes, absolutely.
And wondered how are these people driving without lights on? Well, I think, you know, I'm thinking, and I've seen some guys, people on the parkway at night where I'd look in their car and see the dash illuminated. I'm like, how are they illuminating the dash and not the outside lights? You know, because if you turn on the parking lights, the dash lights light, and so are the parking lights.
Right.
So I looked into this. I did some research, and I found I looked into her owner's manual. I said, let's go right to the source. And this is what I found. This is right out of a Chevy Cruze owner's manual. Under daytime running lamps, it says the DRL system makes the low beam headlamps come on at reduced brightness when the following conditions are met. The ignition is in the on run mode. The exterior lamp control is in automatic, so it can't be manual, and the engine is running. When the DRLs are on, only the low beam headlamps at a reduced level of brightness will be on. The tail lamps, side marker, instrument panel, and other lamps will not.
Right, they'll be off.
Now, I've seen instrument panels on, so this is from Chevy. Other cars, I guess, obviously are different. The headlamps automatically change from DRL to regular headlamps depending on the darkness of the surroundings. The other lamps that come on with the headlamps will also come on when that happens. So, again, I would urge people to check their owner's manuals. If you drive a car and you have DRLs that are and you have it on the auto setting,
right,
take a look in the owner's manual under lighting and see. Because I've urged her, like, I wouldn't use them. I would turn them on manually, you know, so that your taillights come
right
on, too.
I think some cars you can't eliminate the daytime.
Well, that's true. But you can change it from automatic to manual.
Right.
So I think if it was in like, the excuse me, the off position, the DRLs would come on,
right,
but the others wouldn't.
Yes. Yeah, that's how I keep mine. I usually keep them in the manual position.
Right.
And I got a complaint about that. If you got a few minutes, I'd love to air.
Oh, please, yeah.
So again, I have a 2013 Subaru, and I'm not an engineer, and I guess it was easier for them to design the daytime running lights to be on the low beams. But I have to tell you, it's a real pain changing those low beams. And for them to be running all the time when I don't need it, I wish they would at least decided on putting them on the high beams or done something different.
Some cars, the bumper has to come off, the grills have to come off, fenders have to come off.
I have to go through the inner fender, take everything apart, and reach my arm up in there. And it's not the easiest thing to do.
That's not even that bad. Like I said, I've seen some of the cars at the shop where bumpers and fenders have to come off to get it to a light replacement. That's just a light replacement.
But on a high beam, they're accessible under the hood. I would have preferred that. So if you're listening, maybe there's a reason why, but I think that would have made it a lot easier for people who got to change the bulbs.
Well, you'd have to talk to the manufacturers about that, because I don't know what they were thinking.
I'm sure they see dollar signs when you bring the car in for repair.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring it back to the dealer.
Again, you know, we talk about engineering a lot and what it takes to engineer a car and then what it takes to maintain a car. Whoa.
Well, we have the same thing at work. The two guys aren't in the same room at the same time.
Yeah, that's true.
Never happens.
Oh, very true. Where did our controller go? I don't see it. Oh, there it is. Yeah, so that's very big. The other thing we were talking about on the way in were tires. We had a couple concerns about that.
Yeah, I just got new tires. Matter of fact, on the same car. It's been a ban a couple of months for that car. I guess needs a lot of love, although it's been good to me. It's been good.
Well, you've had it for 6 years, so.
Yes, no complaints at all. It's been a great car.
Mm.
But they're all wear and tear items, maintenance, and that's to be expected.
Why did you choose that brand of car?
The Subaru. Actually, it was my second one. I had a Subaru before that.
Brand loyalty, yeah.
And before that, a fellow at work had one, and he was very happy with the results of the car, and I bought it on his word.
Right, right. Now, you put a lot of miles on the car, too.
Yes. I mean, I'm probably doing about 2,000 miles a month.
Whoa!
Can you say frequent oil changes?
How often do you do your oil changes?
On this car requires synthetic, so I do every 5,000.
Okay.
So
that's every 2.5 months.
Yep, roughly.
Wow.
Unless I get some time off, then it gets stretched a little longer.
Wow, that is.
Yes. The good thing is the oil filter's on top, so it makes it a lot convenient.
Right. Have you ever considered stretching that interval out from 5 to 6 or 7?
You know, I've thought about it, but I guess I'm old school because I used to use Dino oil, and I would do it 3,000, so putting it to 5 was a stretch.
Yeah, yeah. So I know.
You know, so maybe I'm just old school.
I did the same thing with my cars. It was hard for me to go to 3 or 4,000.
Right.
And I have a device. I want to get the guy back on the show. It's an oil tester. It uses a sensor is what it does. It looks light transmission.
Right.
And we had him on the show many years ago. I don't remember his name off the top of my head. But at his urging, he says, listen, you know, check the oil that comes out of your car and see if it's it'll tell you if that oil is still usable. So I did. And all the cars I did that I did oil changes on, it all checked fine. I said, this thing ain't working. So I have a drum at home that has waste oil in it.
Okay. Don't we all?
Now, that waste oil drum, yeah, has the waste oil, but also I'll pour maybe a little bit of gas in there. I may pour a little bit of, you know, carburetor cleaner. It's got like a nice little mixture of stuff. I took a sample of that, and it showed in the usable, less usable than the oil. So I said, okay, at least I know the sensor's working.
Right.
And I said, how do I find bad oil?
Sure. I mean, do you think it checks the additives, or is it particulates and dirt?
Well, all is it's a little sensor, so and you put oil on top of it, so it's looking at light transmission through the sensor. Okay. So it's got some kind of a program. You know, it knows what to do.
Okay.
I don't know the engineering behind it. Yeah. But what I did is I went to my lawnmower.
All right.
Two-cycle lawnmower. And I change the oil every season in the lawnmower, which most people never, ever, ever do, right? I took a sample of that.
The four-cycle?
No, two-cycle.
Two-cycle? Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. My lawnmower is four-cycle.
I have a two-cycle.
You have a lawnmower, right? Mine's a four-cycle, but it's air-cooled, obviously. Dead bad. I mean, the scent, like, red, dead bad. I'm like, okay, this thing does work. Because I tried new oil, of course, which should have showed perfect, and it did. And all my other oils showed usable range, and I wasn't seeing a swing like I thought. And then I did find one that showed me dead bad, and I said, okay, it is reading.
I know we've talked about this before, and I know a lot of people have different ideas, different concerns. I just look at it, the price. It's fairly reasonable, the cost, and I just prefer to change it at that 5,000-mile mark. You know, I don't want to throw good money away, but I feel comfortable doing it at the 5.
Yeah, no, that's and that's a lot. That's a big part of it. We talk to people and say, you know, it is what you're comfortable with.
I mean, we could talk about the old car. I mean, we know how much oil costs for those cars. I mean, I have to use something with zinc in it, and I barely get a couple hundred miles a year on a car. So do I change it yearly, or do I wait until?
What do you do?
I change it yearly.
Yeah, see, sometimes like last year, I didn't change the oil in my Pontiac. I don't know how many hundreds of miles I put on it, but. Again, it was the end of the season. I said, you know what? Yeah, I just did this, and it's like,
I know.
Wow.
I know.
So I guess this year, you know, but again, now that oil, last I checked, was about $8 a quart.
Yes.
Maybe more, you know, depending where you go.
Sure.
I did get a deal once on online. Now, I was buying the oil that I know you would use, which was Brad Penn.
Right.
I like that because it's the old Pennsylvania crude. It's the old Kendall oil.
Yes.
And like you said, high zinc content, ZDDP for the for flat tappet cam engines. You know, you can look that up. There's all sorts of stuff on the internet if you're curious. And because of that, now that's become a specialty oil. But it used to be that was what was on the shelf everywhere. And as of such, because of such, the price is reflecting it.
Yes.
So I got a deal once on the internet at, I think, $4 a quart.
Wow. That was a steal.
One time I got that.
I could never find that. And if you get a good price, they make up for it in shipping.
Yeah.
So you're not making out. But on the average, it's about $7 to $9 a quart. And I mean, if you buy it off the shelf someplace else, locally, it's going to be even more.
I found another brand because actually Joe had asked me to get it for him. It's Valvoline. I think it's VR1. They call it racing oil. They have it at Colvin Auto Parts, the local auto parts store that we both frequent. And a case of 12 quarts was about $50.
Wow, that's cheap.
Which was pretty damn good.
Yep.
So there is another alternative. I know a lot of guys used to use, what's the diesel oil they used to use?
Oh, Rotella. Rotella?
Rotella T,
I tried that too for a while.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. You don't know, is it working? Who knows? I don't know, you know.
I don't want to find out the wrong way.
You know, it's got me thinking of, you know, maybe a way to go from now on, like any other engine that I build or any other car I get involved with, maybe just go to roller cam and be done with it. You know, it's like, it's easy, you know. Well, it's not easy. Well, now you can actually put a roller cam in a Pontiac. Like us being Pontiac guys, we're always handcuffed. There wasn't stuff available for those cars, you know. Other cars, not a Pontiac. Now there is a roller cam conversion. But it's not, you know, it's not cheap like a Chevy or
no,
or a Ford.
No, it never was.
But it's out there. You know, like there's aluminum heads now that were never available.
Sure.
So there's, you know, you can, I guess it's like you pay the money up front or you pay it through the long run.
Right.
What do you want to do, you know? Ugh, I don't know.
Nope, it's cheap enough. I might as well just change it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what do you do with the other question that comes up, of course, the big one is the oil filter. People have asked, what's your choice of filter? What's a good one? I saw on the internet that, you know, this one got trashed or that one.
You know, you're right. It depends on the car. And go back to what we were talking about coming this morning is, I guess, brand loyalty or OEM. Mm-hmm. So it depends which car we're talking about. On the old stuff, I use the Delco.
Okay.
The new stuff, I buy the OEM.
Okay.
And in the past, especially a couple of cars, they went back to the old cartridge filter. It wasn't a spin-on.
Right.
So you'd have to make sure you get the correct stuff. Two O-rings, you get the filter.
Correct.
And on the one car, I needed a plug to stick in to break the check valve to drain the rest.
Oh, the Toyotas do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So sometimes with the aftermarket stuff, you wouldn't get that.
Yeah. That's true. You know, my daughter's RAV4. Mm-hmm. And I always forget to use it. And whenever I'm done, I'm like, oh, I forgot to use this stupid thing. Yeah.
That's what it's there for.
Yeah, what I know. But yeah, having a filter on top is nice. But the older cars is really what I'm concerned with. Like, what are your choices for the Pontiac?
A Delco.
You like a Delco? Okay. Yeah.
Or I could use a Bosch. And a one car, it's okay because I have regular exhaust. The other one's got the headers. So I'm kind of clearance issue.
Oh, yeah.
With the smaller filter.
So let me say the F word. I'll throw it out there because it always comes up in conversations and someone will lambaste me for not doing it. Fram.
The
four-letter F word.
Yes. Dale. I have used them in the past. I do read about them.
People for some reason love to trash Fram filters.
I see that. And like you said earlier, I don't know if it's doing any damage or how it's working.
Right.
I haven't had a problem.
I've used Frams for many years, and I still do. I haven't stopped because I haven't had a problem.
Right.
And I actually went to the extent of buying an oil filter cutter because I wanted to open the filters and see what these guys were talking about, if I could see what they were seeing. And any way you could cut a filter, you could induce particulate. If you use a hacksaw, you're going to have metal filings. If you use a whiz wheel, same thing. You have grit and metal. A pipe cutter would do it, but a pipe cutter that big, it's so the device I bought, I think I got it from Summit Racing, is essentially like a little pipe cutter. It has a little pipe cutter blade, so it makes a clean cut, and then you can extract it. And I've looked at all sorts of filters. Actually, at the shop, I looked at Mike's brand new. They have a new Camaro. Well, it's not brand new anymore. A couple years old. But Mike wanted to see what the OEM filter looked like inside on the first change. Sure, we cut it, and that was a Delco.
Okay.
I've looked at my Frams, and I can't come to any conclusion by even that inspection. Like, yeah, they're all really dirty. They're all pleated, but nothing collapsed. Nothing turned to mush.
I think, and I'm not sure 100%. They talk about, I think, some of the materials that they're made of where they're using cardboards on the inside.
Right.
And their relief valves are a little different, or they use these cheaper poppets for relief valves.
Right.
That's, I think, what someone will talk about.
Relief valves only come into play if there's a clog or a problem in the engine. And if you're changing the oil and taking care of things, that ain't going to happen. I tell you what's going to happen. We went 2 minutes over my next scheduled break, so let me play another quick little break here. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
What are these birds doing here at the radio station?
They're just tweeting.
They're kind of loud.
They'll stop soon. They're about to hit 140 characters.
Huh?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm retweeting that.
Oh no, not again.
You gotta like that.
That tweeter just tweeted all over the equipment.
Do you or do you not know about the bird?
Join the conversation on Twitter. Find us at 903 WHPC.
I'm not cleaning that up.
Hey, what's your big idea?
That's 903 WHPC on Twitter. From the Voice of NASA Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This program is brought to you by Stu Leonard's Farm Fresh Foods, located at 1897 Front Street in East Meadow and inside Airport Plaza on Route 110 in Farmingdale. Open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's where rule number one is that the customer is always right. And rule number two is if the customer is ever wrong, reread rule number one. More information can be found online at StuLeonard's.com.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
Now, thank you, Rob. Thank you, Pepe, for letting me make a change in that song last minute, Kev. Now, you see, that's what I was showing John last week when he was here. Live radio, sometimes things don't work as planned. What? The CD player didn't increment, so we'll just we'll do it on the fly.
You know, I love the show, but I could just sit here and listen to that CD all day.
You and me both. And, you know, I made a habit years ago. I started putting concert stubs in the CD cases for shows I'd gone. My wife and I had gone to see the Good Rats. This was a benefit for the Coalition for Disabled Musicians Incorporated, presenting the Good Rats in Concert and more. It was at the Hofstra Playhouse, 8 p.m. It was a $20 donation.
What year?
November 21st, 1990.
Wow, okay.
Which doesn't seem like that long ago.
Nope.
You know, to us, but, yeah, it was, you know.
Time's clicking by.
Oh, boy. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. So we're back. You can call us, 516-572-7440. We will entertain your car concerns and problems and cruise control and other thing issues, whatever you want to talk about. So let's see. Where can we go from here? We have what happened during the week. Actually, it's a week old already, but there was an issue. I always laugh at how things happen and how repairs happen. This is an upcoming Instagram post. I'd stop by the shop just to drop something off. And Mike said to me, he goes, oh, I want to show you something in the shop. They had a county minivan, a Dodge minivan, late model. And I don't know who was driving this thing, but they actually damaged the front strut and control arm. It all was shot. And then must have curbed the rear because the long control arms in the rear, one of them was totally bent up. Yeah.
Talk about a hot landing, huh?
It was pretty good. Yeah, must have been. I would have liked to have seen the video of that one. So one of the other guy in the shop had already changed the front end components, and we're looking at it. Mike says, "What'll it take to change this rear axle?" So he had one on the ground from a junkyard, and you know it's a dead axle just with two wheels and hubs on it. Had the rotors, had the brakes, calipers, and everything on it. Had the parking brake cables and all. They really did a nice job taking it out. So we're looking on the lift and said, "Okay, well you got two forward bolts for the lower control arms. That's you know two big nuts and bolts there." The two shock bolts, there's a transverse panned rod, that's like you could take one side of that off, and then you take the calipers off and the e-brake cables, leave that with the body so you don't touch the hydraulic system, just hang the calipers. I said, then this thing should just drop right out.
Sure.
I said, where's the tranny jack? Now, I was going to go, I had things to do. I was going to go into Queens and do some visiting and also, but I said, you know, in my head I'm calculating and say, all right, it's not a particularly dirty job. It's not really greasy or oily, all those things where you get into an engine or whatever and come out looking like, you know, like you're just a La Brea tar pits. So I'm thinking, like, okay, is this something I want to do today? Maybe we should do this, like, tomorrow or, you know, kind of like, let me see. Let me get a wrench. I walk over to my toolbox. let me get
started.
The tranny jack.
That was it?
Let me tell you something. Between the two of us banging this thing out, it took us an hour to get it out.
Right.
Which really wasn't bad in retrospect because the bolts were all tight and it was,
A lot of rust.
Not too bad, truthfully, because it was a fairly late model van. And a half hour to put it back in. You know, so, and, you know, done.
And you could attribute that to having a lift, putting that up on a lift. Because
well,
I'm thinking about doing that in my driveway, and certainly wouldn't be an hour.
You know, I'll tell you something. You could think of it as doing, like, a rear end in an older car, like on one of our Pontiacs.
Right.
If you had the car on jack stands, and then the rear end on a jack, it would be the same thing, just undoing the mounting points and lowering it down. Actually, there's more to do on a car like that. Because there's drive shaft, there's upper and lower control arms. So there was less to do on this. The tranny jack was key. Because I said, he said, you know, it's not a one-man job. With the training jacket, could have been a one-man job. I said, it's really not a one-man job, and even two guys without a training jacket, yeah, we could have lowered this ourselves, but why?
No.
Why stress it?
Supposed to work smarter, not harder.
And that's what we did.
Right.
And I was surprised. At the end, I washed my hands. I looked, wow, it was like an hour and a half. I'm chuckling like, that was easy. But it comes with a little bit of experience of being able to look at it. And like I said, I did a mental inventory of what has to come out.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, we can do this. You know, and then with the combination of power tools and hand tools and like
well.
I said, the lift and the
accessibility,
jack.
Yes, not laying on your back.
Yeah.
Definitely helps.
Without a doubt.
It's almost like the first time I did change the rear on my Le Pontiac years ago.
Right.
Change it with a scissor jack.
Oh,
that
yeah.
The
yeah.
only thing I had.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, we all worked that way. That was the, that was the mantra of the day. We used what we had. We did, in the driveway. I tell people all the time that, I was out there in the snow.
Me too.
With a piece of cardboard for insulation.
Yep.
I just told a chiropractor, not my regular chiropractor, a guy who stood in. I told him a story last week, on how I met my friend, how I kind of cemented the relationship with my good friend Gerard from PA, the trucker. Who may be listening now. Hey, Gerard. This is back 1976, 7, I don't know. My house was on a hill. We used to sled down a hill. He was at the bottom of the hill, make a left, go to the end of the block. So he comes up the hill one day in the winter, knocks on the door, and he says to me, hey, Ray, listen, I got a problem. You think you can help me out? My buddy, who became his brother-in-law, actually his name is Buddy, his car, we're trying to put a transmission in. We did a clutch. It was a Mustang. It was a 428 Mustang or 429.
Well, big one that in there, right?
Oh. So they had done a clutch, and he says, we can't get the transmission back in to seat with the bell housing.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, common problem with a four-speed. The splines have to mate with the clutch. So I asked him, did you use an alignment shaft?
Right.
Yeah. Did anybody touch the clutch pedal? No. Right. All the major things, no. Nobody screwed with anything. I'm like, all right, well, where's the car? Well, it's down at my house. We got it up. You think you could take a look at it? So now I'm again, doing a melt of the calculation. What am I doing? What's more important? Do I want to help this guy? And, sure, let's go. But, of course, now if you would have seen my perspective past Gerard, you would have looked. That year we had this massive snowstorm. We had like 3-4 foot of snow everywhere, and the car was outside.
Naturally. Yeah.
So, all right, I get my clothing on, whatever I'm going to do. We go outside, and someone had driven him up. So, I don't know why, because I remember we chose, it was probably his father's station wagon, too. Because instead of getting in the car like humans, we decide, let's grab the back bumper and skitch down the block, around the corner to his house, which is what we did. Have a little bit of fun out of it, too. Let's see if we can kill ourselves. We were young. And folks get there, and there's the car up in the air on the jack stands, and it's cardboard and maybe some carpeting or whatever, and everybody's hanging around. And, the car owner is there, and there's the hangers around. The suckerfish.
Sure.
Right? Like, who's drinking a beer, smoking a cigarette,
who's telling you what you're doing wrong, I got an idea for you.
Right. So now we get back, and they kind of, in retrospect, I could fit all this in. At the time, it was just doing a job. They must have thought, like, okay, special forces have arisen. It's like the C's part, and they let you go. It's like a concert crowd where like, Ozzy comes out, and everybody lets them through, So we come through right to the car, get underneath, and like, okay, we do the little doctor, yes, consultation about what's going on. We worked on it and got it done, got it in. Of course, now I'm the hero, saved the day.
Getting street cred.
And, and for me, it was more about just, like even with today, more about sharing the information, just helping out. It wasn't about being the guy or being a superstar. You don't look for accolades. It's like, hey, you know what, dude? There's a six-pack in this for you. Cool.
That's right.
Yeah, good. That's great.
More importantly, you got a cemented friendship with somebody.
Exactly.
Many years.
With both of them. Yeah.
Yes.
But that's the way we worked back then. And like we talk about all the time, having a lift or having a jet. It's like, would I do that today? I built my own car in my garage. I did do it in my garage and on jack stands. So I did put that I'm a fan of putting a transmission on the engine.
Sliding
and putting them actually, you were there to help me with that one when I got the car back, in fact. But to go and work like that now, no.
Back then, you were young, ambitious. You didn't mind. You were learning. You had all the people. I didn't want to say it.
How's it go? Young, dumb, and yes. Something. Yeah, there's something that goes with that. All right.
Like I said, working smarter, not harder.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, we've worked smart up to this point. I tell you what, we got to take our last break. This is, it was kind of like, you know, people say to me, what were you like, from out of space working like that? You're some kind of an alien mentality? You're crazy? I'm like, no, that's just what we did.
So I used what was available.
But I will say, like, with that job, we had victory.
All right.
In space.
Let me guess.
We'll be back with more on Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino with Kilowatt Kevin today on 90.3 WHPC. Keep it where you got it.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
It's a call-studded program. We do have another caller on the line. Caller, identify yourself.
Anthony, I called those guys with the cars one time.
Oh, nice, the Motormouth guys.
Oh, yeah, those good old boys.
There you are. Anthony, where are you calling from?
I'm in Freeport. Yeah, this morning I miss it. My boss was, every time I turn on, he turns it off. I say, whoa. Yo, be bad, but I'm here. I give him a karate chop.
That's right.
Give him a karate chop.
Give him that five.
I love it.
Man, dude,
it's a pleasure, bro. Take it easy. That was
amazing.
My favorite caller.
Of all time.
Maybe all time. I have heard him with the Motormouth guys. That's why I recognized them a little.
All right, we've been victorious. We got through another break. We got through almost another hour. Thank you, Pepe. But there is a little bit of more time to get in touch with us at 516-572-7440. Give us a call. Tell us about your... Hey, you know what you could talk... We want to talk about... Yeah, this is something, too. I don't know. I'll put it to you as well. We had put up before Christmas a holiday gift lists. Yeah, we put one on motormouthradio.com on the blogs page, and a lot of people had... other sites had put them up as well. Gift ideas that you could get the car guy in your life or gal. And I got a couple. You know, my family reciprocated with a few for me. And I'm just curious now, after the fact, if people, you know, if they got things off that list or bought things for themselves off that list. Did you see any of those lists yourself?
You know, I don't think I've seen the list, but I know what you're saying. And I know for my son, I'm good at picking out stuff that he needs for his car. And my wife, sometimes she's good on that too for me. Usually, I guess from being together all this time, she didn't need to list what to look for.
Yeah.
But this year, well, there's a couple of items, like a battery tender.
Okay.
A couple of tool sets and just enough to keep him going on there.
I'll tell you an interesting story of how you can get too smart for the list.
Okay.
And it happened to me. I got screwed on a Christmas present.
This year?
Yes. I was with Mike. We were at Home Depot. And before Christmas, they were selling stuff like crazy. They had tool sales like nuts. And the Milwaukee brand is very popular. Guys love those Milwaukee, the battery-powered ratchets.
Right.
I don't have one, but I don't have any Milwaukee. So I have a corded drill. So what they had, and something I want, is a battery-powered air inflator. I'll tell you quickly why I want it. In the garage, I have my big compressor and hose, but, you know, it's 85 feet from the street.
Sure, yep.
And if a car is at the curb, like normally is, I either got to get it into the driveway, which is hard because there's other cars. I could carry my air tank, but it's a big air tank.
That's what I do, yes.
And then I got to, like, not hit the other cars.
Right.
Or I could stretch two air hoses to the front. I said, you know what? a portable air inflator is going to be the way to go. I'll walk to the curb. I can, you know, because those cars, the one car that sits in the street doesn't get used regularly at all. And one tire does go low. And I said, okay, Home Depot had this Milwaukee air inflator with the battery and charger,
right,
which is the key, for $109.
That's a good price.
A great price. And the thing there is if you pay attention, the battery will work in other tools.
Right.
So you can just hot swap batteries and interchange. So it gives you the option to buy the other stuff. Or in my case, you know, I hadn't necessarily planned on that, but I said, and I sent her a picture and said, Home Depot, on sale now. I want this for Christmas.
You got to buy it yourself.
Well, my wife, I guess, keying in off of me a little bit of being a more of a detective shopper, goes to Amazon.
All right.
Finds it on Amazon and buys it. I open it up. Oh, beautiful. Here it is. Wait a minute. Tool only. No battery and charger.
Oh.
She paid like $85 and okay. Thought she bested my best.
Right.
So now I say, uh-oh. Now we look online. It's like $160-something everywhere.
Big difference.
$140 was like the lowest I saw, $143 with the battery and charger. I actually went to Home Depot to see if they physically had it.
Gone.
Yeah, they had one in the thing, and it was like, you know, $160. Like, okay. Now, that's got to go back.
You know what the lesson is. When you see it, buy it, and wrap it, and put your own name on it.
You know, right.
That's what you have to do. We do that at home, too.
Yeah, we do that, too. I do that a lot.
It's a lot easier.
But that's why I told her. I said, that's why I sent you the picture. It's home. Go there now, you know. And she says, no, I figured. I know what you figured. But so you can outthink yourself or outthink other people. And so now I still don't have an air inflator.
Okay. Well, you have one, but it just needs a battery.
Yeah, right. Well, that's true. I tell you, a battery and charger for that thing was I did look it up. I don't remember exactly what it was. It's not cheap.
That's usually how they get you.
Maybe like $50-$60, something like that. Now, that's the M12 line. Now they have the M18, which is the voltage.
Okay.
So the problem with that is it locks you into other tools of that voltage.
Right.
And they're smart because they physically change the battery, so you can't interchange them and like overpower it. But so I don't know. That's you can be too smart for the room, and that's
like I said, we just buy our own. Gets a lot easier that way, and nobody to blame.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You get what you want. So I should have done that this time, and I didn't. So anyway, so
you're going to send it back.
Yeah, I guess we'll send it back. And now I'm in that dead zone because I did look online and I looked in the store. And I'm thinking, unless they do another sale,
it might come down again.
I'll have to look and see if they do another sale. There's other ones available, but I like the Milwaukee brand. Again, we talk about brand recognition and brand trust, and Milwaukee is a good brand.
Right.
And there is a possibility I might, I could see myself buying a battery-powered Milwaukee tool, be it like a little Sawzall, which is kind of cool.
Yes.
I like the sanders. It's like a belt sander. Handheld and of course the ratchet. But I'm working on putting a deal together with Matco Man Brian. He's we're talking about this. I said we had bought at the shop a couple of pneumatic guns, air impact guns. They did the Matco now has a 1600 foot pound breakaway impact.
Wow.
Half inch drive. Yep. A killer. Now they're making battery powered ones like that, but this is air. So the one right before it was 1300. No slouch.
Right.
Mike and I bought a couple of reconditioned ones, at a very good price, very good discount. And I tell you, things look brand new. Brian knows how to sell a tool. He really makes it look like it's new. So I said, hey, when guys are now switching over from the brushed-type motors on the battery power to the brushless, and also the battery voltage changed. I said, when you get a guy who does trade-ins, because they do this old, some guys just have to have the new stuff.
Sure, not wrong with the old stuff.
And when you're working like online, when you're a guy, a line mechanic, and you're doing this every day, you want to have something dependable, and maybe you do want the newest. So I said, keep your eye out for a guy who trades in, the battery-powered ratchets, 3/8, quarter, and a little 3/8 gun. That's what I'm looking for. I said, and then you put me together a package with a couple of batteries and chargers.
That's nice.
I said, and then, and I don't mind having, and I know he's going to get me the stuff that's, the primo stuff.
Right,
it'll be in good shape.
There'll be no regrets.
So, no regrets, what?
Yeah.
tattoo commercial. So, we'll see. But if you have, got a few minutes left, if you have a choice of tools, because there's that whole debate about battery versus pneumatic also.
Yes.
I found
I've been using a lot more battery.
Have you?
Yes.
What brand battery stuff do you have?
It's usually Craftsman at home and Walker's Milwaukee.
Okay. You know? Okay. Do you see a difference between those two brands?
You know what? No. For me, I don't.
Okay.
But I'm not using them both either day.
Right.
I'm sorry, every day.
Right.
So it's hard to compare. Usually at home, I use the Craftsman a lot more, and I have no issues with them at all.
Right, right. Yeah, I have at home, I bought them years ago. Again, my wife was a fault at this. I wanted the half-inch drive battery-powered impact.
Yes, yep.
So I had asked for that, and she actually bought me the 3/8 one. So I had to go out and buy
my own. Yep.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to reach to this, push this button. We're going to go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to get in there and wish you a Happy New Year.
Cliff, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Good. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Good. I got a quick question for you, Ray. I see you talking about a lot of the battery-powered tools.
Yeah.
I've been seeing so much of it in being used in, like, tire shops now. And do they have the same amount of torque, like the same amount of strength to tighten as, like, you know, an air pneumatic one? Or
Cliff, in a lot of cases, the battery surpasses the pneumatic. And in fact, Mike at the shop just bought a couple weeks ago a 3/8 drive, small 3/8 drive battery powered gun, and we were taking lug nuts off with this thing.
Wow.
Very impressive. Very impressive.
Very cool. Yeah, it's amazing some of the stuff now, you know?
It's not cheap. It's not cheap, but, you know, you get what you pay for. And if you're in a shop, man, that stuff comes in handy.
Yeah, if you're using it every day, it's definitely quicker and. You don't have to worry about the hoses all over the place or your compressor making a lot of noise. You know?
Think of how many heads and rear ends Danny could change with that. So he probably uses battery power.
I think he has some stuff in there. Yeah, I've seen it. But I was shocked. You know, I was kind of surprised when I see guys putting wheels and tires on. I'm like, wow, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You always, you know, old school. You're thinking it's not powerful enough, you know.
No, but so, it is.
Gotta check the lugs with a regular lug wrench.
I'll tell you what I do, Cliff. I actually break my lugs with a breaker bar. And then I run them off with the battery-powered gun or the pneumatic gun. And when I put them on, I'll run them in with the gun just till they seat, and then I torque them by hand. So I'm maybe the anomaly. I don't know. That's just what I do.
That's the real way.
Yeah, that's what I do. So whatever.
Well, have a happy new year, fellas.
Thanks,
great
Cliff.
Show as usual.
Have a good day.
We look forward to getting you in the studio again soon, too.
I hope so. It's a lot of fun.
All right, Cliff. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All righty. So long. That's our good friend Cliff. We just had him in a few weeks ago. Cliff was here, sitting there with me, talking about stuff. In fact, there's a few threads that came up when Cliff was in about auto scams on, like, you know, this on Craigslist.
Yes.
And so we wanted to put together a show to talk about that.
That'd be really good.
Because these guys, Cliff and some of his buddies, are actual professionals in that area, and they could lend some real, you know, real-time information that guys like, you know, that average citizens don't have access to.
We should clarify what type of professionals, which end of the scale.
Well, they deal with, you know, with the law enforcement and insurance end of things. So, and that goes hand in hand. Auto crimes and insurance are definitely hand in hand. And I tell you what, we're coming to the end of the show. We're not there yet, but Kevin, thank you again for coming in. It's a great help. Well, I'm trying to be leading this time, Kevin. I see you looking at the clock. She's like, what, am I late? No, you're not late.
Well, Ray, thanks for having me on. I enjoyed the day.
Oh, believe me, you helped me out more than you know. Next week, we may be doing something interesting. We may be doing a live, we may be trying something with a, what would you call it? A ghost remote where my old co-host, Chris Switzer, may be co-hosting the show, but from his location in Connecticut through, it'd be like he'll be in the studio, but it'll all be done, you know, with a remote type with software and all. So we're going to see if that comes off next week. And that may be our new mantra for the show going forward, at least until we can, you know, until things settle out. So we're going to see. It may work. We'll give it a shot and we'll see. I'm sure Kim can make it happen for us because she's a wizard with that stuff. Yes. And we have Mark Warman scheduled. Well, he's not scheduled. We're scheduling Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars to come back on and talk about his season 11 and all the changes that he made. That hasn't dropped in yet, but it should very, very soon. And then we'll let you know when it happens. So, Kev, again, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Ray.
We're going to let Kim come in. Stay tuned. Of course you stay tuned because everybody loves Kim and Thunder Road, best of Springsteen and anyone who played with the band. And we're going to be out of here. Motormouth Radio will be back next week. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHBC. Bye.